Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Now, I appreciate smart. You gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This jack of ball, man.
You want to play games? Okay. How play with
it? Game Strong. We here, and we're here to go ahead and impact communities and impact lives.
I'm too strong. Too strong. Break the table tonight.
Guys, welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
I'm too strong.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions, or you just want to give me a shout out on some love.
You want to play games? Okay.
Giving you the latest in sports and hottest sports people out there in your city, in your area, or local.
I'm too strong.
What?
I'm too strong.
Yeah, welcome to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show with yours truly, my man Trey Davis. Trey, you good, brother? And then we have some technical difficulties right about now. But we got Trey Davis who's going to be holding down the show tonight. It's yours truly, Mr. Nas. Trey, you loud and clear, brother? And we're having some technical difficulties, so I'm going to proceed on with the show. Tonight's show, we're going to have a couple of co-hosts on the line. My man Alonzo, you know, who played in the N1. A couple other things is going on as far as in the sports world. Big Trey, I think we're having some technical difficulties with our main host, you know, so I'm just holding the boards at this time. Tonight's show, we're going to talk about some basketball, what's going on with the NBA. We're going to be talking about a couple of things, the finals and the whole nine. Brother Trey, you back online with us? I think we have some technical difficulties. So we'll continue on. Now, with the game that just went rocked out with the NBA finals, the Heat then got back into the daggone a mix of this thing with LeBron doing his thing. He was counted out the first time. You know, honestly, tell you the truth, real talk. The air conditioning saved the Spurs' ass. But LeBron, you know, proved the naysayers wrong. So, you know, hold on. I think we got Trey back online right now. Brother Trey, you with us, brother? I think we have, excuse me, callers. You know, we're trying to get everybody online now. So, in the interim, what we're going to do, I think we're going to bring this host on for now. So, Trey, if you're trying to get online, you know, you may have to call back in. You know, I got the boards open for you at this time. So what I'm going to do for the intern while Trey works it out, we're going to go to a quick music interlude, fix what we got to fix behind the scenes, and we're going to bring you back on our main host, Trey Davis, in the Game Strong program. So let's go to a little brief music interlude, and we can come back with Trey Davis.
Things aren't going so well. Now what I need is for you and the boys to lay low for a little while. In other words, stay out of the club.
my dick. Now she sick. She better lay low. Niggas lay who low. Be claiming my hood and really ain't for my gang. Better lay low. I hope he don't be thinking I'm just talking and I won't do a thing. Really hope so.
Lay low, nobody moving till I say so. Limo tent rolling deep like the president. See, I don't go to clubs, I never chase a bitch. I'm here to bang that gangster shit to the apocalypse. We call it stress, some of y'all call it chocolate. Return of the top dog, it ain't no stopping this. Whatever the case, I ain't trying to catch it. Lay low, blow big dope and slang records. Unseen but well heard, do not disturb. The only reason you alive is I ain't sent a word. I flip faster than birds. Snoop Dogg will emerge from the smoke and go low. You shouldn't provoke, I bring the worst from the LBC. Smash motherfuckers thinking they gon' smash on me. Snoop and Dre give a fuck about what y'all say. From the world's most dangerous group, N.W.A.
I lied, it was no surprise. I always knew these fools would trip. Hey, faking, scheming on mine and on the down low talking shit.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? This is your host, Trey. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but we back on track. Shout out to the people on the soundboards getting everything. You know, the playoffs is real, man. If you wanted the Spurs to win, I can understand. LeBron didn't have those leg cramps, so definitely he kicked it. He did his thing. I got my co-host for the evening, for another week, Miss TK. How you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I know you was upset that the Spurs lost this weekend.
I wasn't upset.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I knew they were going to have to lose at least once.
Here's what I'm saying. For the people who judge LeBron prematurely, just began as a shuffle of 22 weeks.
That's not for nobody to say, yeah. Personally. Yeah. You didn't feel the pain. Yes, he's a superstar. Yes, he makes millions and millions of dollars, and a lot of people should, but if you were in his shoes, would you have? Nobody knows. The point is, he sat down in the fourth quarter, and they lost. That's the bottom line.
But well, here's the thing. The game won. And we talk about the coach. They had 20 No one
but see, this is the thing, and on that saying that, a lot of people are trying to say, well, the Spurs only won because LeBron sat down. But like you just said, LeBron still had 25. He still played a good game, and the Spurs had 23 turnovers and still won the game. So it's not because LeBron sat down. They were going to lose if LeBron played the fourth quarter or not. The Heat was not playing to their full potential that night, period, with LeBron in or out the game. So you can't take nothing away from the Spurs saying, oh, the only reason why they lost is LeBron sat down.
What I'm saying is, you know, how long is LeBron
most certainly.
You know, LeBron.
People take it for granted. I think that when you make as much money as he makes, you have your own TV shows, you have your own apps, you have all this, your name is all over ESPN, that you have a certain level of expectation. Nobody expects LeBron to score under 20 any game. I don't care what the circumstance is. Now, I'm not saying the expectations are right, but that's just the way people think. So nobody's impressed. Like, hey, you score 20. Great. You're supposed to. You're the greatest. They say you're the greatest basketball player in the world. So why wouldn't you score 20? You should be able to score 20 in your sleep. Like I said, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how most people think when it comes to LeBron. You say you are the king, then there are certain things that that label comes with, certain expectations that he has to live up to.
This is, well, I'm still, it's unfair. He's human. He is obligated to have an injury. He's obligated to get sick. He's obligated to, you know, not necessarily obligated, but he can do that. He's human. He's not a robot. Now, granted, over his illustrious career thus far, he has given the world nothing but his very best. You know, he's played, what, this is the fourth finals? So he played in, what, six finals already. And he's only 30.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's taking that away from him. But like I said, I just feel like people have a certain expectation. And while it may or may not be fair, that's part of what becoming a superstar is. When you do great, you get applauded. When you don't do so great or when you don't do what people expect of you, you get booed. That's the life of a superstar. In any sport, that's just what it is. Fans forget all the good you did all season long for that one shot you missed at the buzzer. I mean, that's just the way it is. Fair or not, that's just the world that he is in, that he chose to be in. So you have to just deal with it and shrug it off. I mean, that's all it is to it.
Well,
yeah, I mean, he's a competitor at the end of the day. I know he didn't want to sit down. That's not even like him. I feel like if he really thought he could play through it, he would have. So we knew that he was going to come back with a vengeance in game two. But my issue with that is that, yeah, he came back with a vengeance, but they didn't really beat the Spurs by much. So if you're telling me LeBron played his butt off and that was like one of the best games he had. He had, what, 35, something like that?
Yeah, 35.
He had 35. And he still only beat them by, what, 2 points?
If it wasn't for Ginobili hitting that,
now let's not do that. Let's do that.
Ginobili hit a 3-pointer with one, with literally the thing went off and they just gave him 3 points. So
they didn't just give him 3 points. Don't when you see you just got finished saying give credit when credit is due. No matter what the Spurs are playing well and they are not getting blown out by the Heat. Even though the Spurs didn't play that great in game two, by no means, but. You got to take into account that they won the game with 23 turnovers, which is horrible. They should have lost. They beat the Heat with 23 turnovers, and they only lost by 2 points when LeBron scored almost 40. So that says a lot about the Spurs organization within itself. You cannot take that away from them.
You know what?
Because if that was any other team, they probably would have lost by 15.
Well, you know what? But once again, this is – what I mean by it. And that's it.
And that's why I think they will win, because they don't have to rely on LeBron to score 35 points. They don't have to rely on Tim Duncan to score 40 to win. Like the Heat, they have to rely on LeBron to score 35, 40 points to win. And that's why
I
believe so, because everybody else is inconsistent. Just like in game one, Wade started off real good. Allen started off real good. By the third, fourth quarter, they started to fade away. That's not going to work. You can't be good one or two quarters. You have to be outstanding all four quarters to consistently beat the Spurs for seven games. It's not going to happen. They rely on LeBron too much. But like you said, Spurs has a deep bench, and they all can equally contribute.
Look.
That's why the Spurs are going to win. Oh, here we go with this Wade crap. Nobody discredited him. But he cannot hang four quarters. That's the issue. He cannot. You watch any game. I bet you. We can go through any freaking game. from the whole season, not just playoffs, the whole season, up to the playoffs, he is not consistently great for four quarters. One or two quarters is not enough.
Wayne Wade in the playoffs, at one point, was shooting over.
We're not talking about at one point. We're talking about this playoffs right now. The pass is not going to make him win a championship today.
I'm talking about Wayne Wade.
Not consistently for four quarters.
Game in,
no.
Game out.
No, not in game one. Not in game one. I can promise you that. Look at the stats. I can promise you that. He started off real strong. Him and Ray Allen. But by third and fourth quarter, they started to disappear, start fading away.
Okay,
Wade the fadeaway. That's what I call him.
Wade
the fadeaway.
Okay, can I ask you this question?
No, you can't ask me nothing. My point is in made. Boom. I don't know who you're talking about.
It wasn't LeBron.
Chris Bosh made a good play. He didn't, and they sleep, people sleep on Bosh, but he's quietly kept. He played good defense on Duncan. You know, he's overlooked a lot in his contribution to the win.
DJ
Wade fadeaway.
Yeah, Wade fadeaway. Who time and time.
Because see, this is the thing about Wade. You can only pinpoint one great outstanding play out the whole freaking game. Miss me with that.
Dwayne Wade is literally, he is, at one point in the playoffs, he was shooting over
60%
in the
playoffs. You see what I'm saying? At one point.
He might be shooting 60% in the playoffs.
For four quarters, this man does not consistently play great. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care. If you break down the stats of his game performance, he is only great for periods, for moments of a time during the game, which Wade fadeaway, okay? That's not how you win championships. LeBron is not good at a moment. He's good throughout the whole game. You can sit up here and run LeBron highlights all day from one game. Wade, you're going to be good for one. And that's it. If ESPN was on, if ESPN relied on Wade, they said, you know, you can only play Dwayne Wade's highlights in order to keep your network. ESPN be gone. One game.
Disrespectful
and the truth are two different things.
You know what it is? To play in Cleveland.
I don't care where Dwayne Wade plays, okay? Dwayne the fadeaway does not mean nothing to me. Was he great at one point in time? Yes, he was. But right now, I am not impressed. For as much money as he makes, okay, and he's a superstar. He should be playing like a superstar. And once the time comes when you can no longer play like a superstar for four quarters, you might want to start looking for a broadcasting job or a coaching job.
That's way beyond. Very, very disrespectful.
It's the truth.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find the stats.
Please do. And break it down from quarter by quarter. Don't just look at the overall stats. Break it down quarter by quarter, and I will show you that I'm right. He'll score 7 straight points in the first quarter. By the third quarter, he didn't do nothing. And in the fourth quarter, he might score 4 more.
You know what?
Second quarter, he's probably on the bench icing his knees.
You know what? You just went over the whole thing.
I don't even like Cleveland for the millionth time. I want Dwayne Wade to start pursuing, okay? I want him to start pursuing either a coaching career, a sports analyst, you know, apply ESPN, SportsCenter, or something. That's
you know
what he needs to start gearing. Or maybe he can do, like, movies or something. You know what? You want to kill me for my honesty? You go right ahead. I'm going to always speak the truth. Power to the people.
Something's wrong with you.
Wade the fadeaway.
Where you go? Something's really wrong with you.
That's just how I see it. We're not here to agree. We never agree. But that's just how I call it. I'm not impressed. Not impressed.
So let me just ask this one question. Dwayne Wade has what? 3 championships?
Something like that.
3 championships. If he surpasses Kobe championships,
it won't be because of him. Even the bench players get a ring. What's your point? Because rings don't mean nothing to me. Let me tell you why. Because if you're on the team, you get a ring. Even if you didn't contribute, not a thing. So what? If he's sitting on the bench icing his knees for the next 2 years and they win for the next 2 years, he's still going to get a ring. So they're going to count him? No.
That's what you're playing.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is if a certain player only plays 60 seconds out of the whole playoffs, okay, but their team wins the championship, don't they still get a ring? Do they have the real right to sit up here and say, I won a ring? No, you can say you're my team. My teammates won a ring, and I got one too. And I got one too.
You're in the team picture. You don't have any history books, and they put that roster down.
But what I'm saying is, if you did not contribute, if you cannot
the MVP.
Which is crazy to me because if you did not contribute, okay?
I did contribute.
No, you sat on the bench. You didn't even take your warm-up pants off. So how did you contribute? Because we know that's what's going to happen to you if you ever go to a league. You're going to be one of them that don't even take the warm-up pants off, but you're going to be bragging because you got a ring. Don't even break a sweat.
That is very disrespectful. First of all, you just don't want to work here. That's okay. And if you don't want to work here, just say that. Like, I just don't want to be here.
I'm just saying how I feel. Isn't that the point of the show? I don't have to agree with your nonsense just because you are a fan of Wade the Fadeaway. That's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
But me personally, this is how TK feels about Wade the Fadeaway.
Cool.
Respect my mind, sir. That's all I'm asking you to do.
If I'm getting championships and a paycheck, and I got front row seats along with everybody else,
look, I'm
popping champagne with everybody else.
Listen, you like it, I love it. All I'm saying is that you can win a ring without being a heavy contribution. That's all I'm saying.
No, because everybody contributes to whether you are the star player or the last person on that bench.
Says the last person on the bench. Of course you don't stick up for the last person. Of course you're going to stick up for the bench. You're a bench warmer. You don't need that bench warmer to cheer you on.
I'm on the team for a reason. That reason is
to keep the seat warm, so when LeBron wants to come sit down, you can move to the left and keep his seat warm.
Look, it's all right, because I get a check and a ring, and I drink Gatorade, and I pop champagne, Now, granted, if I'm in a Bentley or something like
you
that.
You know, you're still driving a Honda, and that's okay.
It's
Honda's a good car.
But I got an old space.
Honda's a great car.
It's all right.
They last a long time.
I get three Priuses all day.
They'll outlast your career.
It's all right. You're just a hater. That's all.
So who do you have winning game three?
I got Miami. I got Miami. It's gonna go down to the wire.
You think the team is gonna be seven?
I believe so. Because Greg Popovich is not gonna do the same thing.
He's very good. He is very good. He's one of the best at making the necessary adjustments. So that's one thing about the Spurs losing the other night, because he's going to study that film and he's going to fix every little thing that needs to be fixed. That's why I'm thinking the Spurs might take the next game. Because I'm telling you, he's great at those adjustments. He really is.
He is. Great coach.
And now my thing is, with him, if you beat him twice in a row, you're not going to beat him the same way you beat him the first time. You see what I'm saying? So that means the Heat is going to have to readjust their game plan, because you're not going to beat him the same way you did. He's a great coach. So the Heat has their challenges. They definitely are up for a battle. It's not going to be an easy win for them.
We got to go ahead to the musical interlude, and when we get back, I have my man, Alonzo Amazing Miles, from A1, former A1 basketball player, now mentor, here on the show.
Interlude.
Trey, this is Nas on the boards. Yeah. Trying to get Alonzo on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Are you playing the musical interlude now?
Yeah, if you want me to, it's all good.
Yeah. Play like 2 minutes of it, and then we're going to bring Alonzo right on.
No doubt.
Fucking Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg.
Da 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 da. You know what I'm having with the D.R.E.
D-P-G-C, my nigga, turn that shit up. C-P-T, L-B-C, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Thug niggas, drug dealers, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for sure. Slipped my hoe a 44 when she got in the back up. Bitches looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Bitch, quit talking, quit walk if you down with the sick. Take a bullet with some dick and take this dope on this jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if your ass get cracked, bitch, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the ass, you'll be relieving your stress.
It's the motherfucking D.R.E.
Dr. Dre, motherfucker.
You know I'm mobbing with the D-O-double-G. Straight off the fucking streets of CBT. King up the beach, ride to him in your fleet. Look, the bill rolling on dubs. How you feel? Whoop-de-whoop, nigga, what? Trey and Snoop chronic down in the lag. With Doc in the back, sipping on yak.
Yeah.
Clipping the strap, dipping through hood.
What hood?
Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood. South Central, out to the west side. This California love, this California bug. Got a nigga gang of pub. I'm on one, I might bell up in the Century Club. With my jeans on, and my team strong. Get my drink on, and my smoke on. Then go home with something to poke on.
What's up, bitch?
Locust Stone for the 2000. Coming real, it's the next episode.
Hold up. Hey, for my niggas who be thinking we
Welcome back to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. Hope y'all enjoyed that musical interlude. I certainly did. Before I even get further on, gotta go ahead and shout out to the Shadow Worlds Radio Network for definitely providing this opportunity for you to give us this platform for your voices to be heard. Check out the Every Woman Talk Show every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. and the Man Up Talk Show every Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also, before I even forget, I got a big-time shout-out to, you know, the wonderful people at A&S Auto Sales out there in Charlotte, North Carolina. My man Anthony Adams, everybody go holler at him. Definitely doing big things for the youth, training young people and professionals that's going out there to the draft. Thanks a lot. I love y'all. Thanks a lot, man, really. Without further ado, I got my man, former N1 basketball player and youth mentor, Alonzo Amazing Miles. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Alonzo.
Yeah, I hear a heated debate about this finals going on.
Look,
going to D. Wade. I just can't understand it.
You feel the hate, too, on D. Wade?
Man, it's always going to be hate on D. Wade. They want to enhance LeBron's greatness, so they always make D. Wade and Bosh seem smaller than they really are. But that's another
conversation. No, hold on. I'm not trying to bump up James at all. I definitely think that Bosh is very overlooked. But Wade, the fadeaway, I'm over him. That's all.
I'm just saying, I guarantee it. As soon as LeBron needs Wade to have a monster game and they backs against the wall, D. Wade always comes through. He's the most consistent person coming through in the biggest moments, all the time.
A game or a quarter?
I'll give you a quarter.
But
a game? No. Nah. D. Wade, I'm from Indiana. D. Wade gave Pacers the business. He gave us problems. So, I don't know.
Alonzo, look. She just wants Dwayne Wade to come to Cleveland.
Nobody wants to go to Cleveland.
This is what
she's upset.
You know, she can't get LeBron, so she's like, well, I'm just going to go after Cleveland. And next week will be Chris Bosh. She'll even take Shane Battier here in Cleveland. Anybody, that's winning games.
Do not listen to him, okay? His foolishness is on an all-time high tonight.
Hey, look, why don't you go ahead and tell the Game Strong world about yourself?
I played with N1 from 2009 to about 2013-14. Traveled the world, had a really good time. I do motivational speaking. I have a training company and a mentoring company. I got a mentoring company called Dream to Be Amazing. And being amazing is being used as a tagline. My basketball company is called B-Ball IQ Academy. Where we train your body, we train your mind. I do a lot. Relationship consultant. We got a radio show too on Blog Talk, Hill and Hearts Radio. We shoot every Tuesday at 9. I just graduated from a North Carolina College of Theology at 3-9. And I'm writing a book off that called Love and Fear, What's Your Motivation? So I do a lot, man, but I'm here to talk, man. Let's talk about this basketball. We can talk about anyone, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. Now, you know, TK, you know, she heard relationship counseling. How do you fall in line with that? Like, how did you end up being a relationship counselor?
Actually, the grace of God, that's how I look at everything, man. Some things you meant to be. Me and my friend had a conversation earlier today, and I had told him to read The Alchemist. And the alchemist said God was just looking for his personal legend, which is his, purpose. And they told him his purpose, his legend was out some gold somewhere. So he kept following his legend. Well, with me, I kept following my purpose in basketball. And it led me to one of my friends doing a relationship show. And I had called him one day, and we were just talking about relationships in general. And he was like, man, would you say that on the radio? I was like, yeah, I don't have a problem talking on the radio. So I got on there. And I spoke my mind, and they really loved it. So after that, I started, enhancing and understanding relationships even more. And relationships are all about the first relationship you really have to get in tune with is the relationship with yourself and God. And once that relationship is the best relationship possible, the karma will take over, and what you attract, I mean, what you put out is what you will attract. So a lot of times people go into these relationships without a good sense of self. So when they talk to me, I make them put them in a position to be accountable instead of feeling entitled, and understanding that every action that they do and everything that they do always comes back to themselves. So with that being said, I sit and we talk about, you know, a man's perspective on it. I mean, in my book, I got a whole chapter on relationships. The woman's perspective, we understand that women and men both have two totally different views. In every relationship, it's an equation, EC squared, expectations, communication, and commitment. I think we lose the part about communication. We're so quick to judge and react rather than actually listen to what that person is saying. My mother and my father do marriage counseling, so I sit down and I talk to them about a lot of stuff. So it's all about bettering self and understanding who you are. And once you do that, the relationship part is easy.
Now, as far as the relationship counseling is concerned, also you deal with a lot of mentoring as far as young athletes trying to build up their mental stamina and confidence. You know, a lot of young people out there, you know, have the talent,
uh-huh.
but they don't have, you know, the mental fortitude to go ahead and stick with it. And what
uh-huh.
made you focus on that?
When I was younger, I had a really bad anger problem, and that would make me mentally weak because I would always get mad and not be able to stay focused in the game. So with that being said, I learned how to deal with my emotions and understanding that the mental part of the game is by far the most enhanced part of the game and mental health. We look back in the playoffs, and, you know, I'm an Indiana fan, but the Pacers wasn't, you know what I'm saying, mentally tough enough. Anything that happened with PG and them, you could tell affected this game. Bynum coming to the Pacers, it affected Hibbert's game, it affected their mentality. At the end of the day, they have to understand how to adapt to these situations and understand who they are in these situations. So the mental aspect of the game, remember when I was young, the coach always told me the game was 90% mental and 10% physical. So when I watch the game now, I see it in a mental aspect. I look at, like, if somebody's talking crazy to you or if you get bumped and you can't handle the physicalness or you can't handle the pressure of the lights. For a while, LeBron couldn't handle the lights. Another perfect example is Dwight Howard couldn't handle the lights in L.A. Like, too much criticism bothers you. Some players just ain't built for it. They want to be liked. They can't knock everything out and just live in that moment and let basketball be their sanctuary. What I do is with a lot of players, I teach them how to live in that moment, how to allow basketball to be their sanctuary, how to be able to think on the court and feel the game and not be distracted with everything else mental health-wise. And I think depression and all these things can actually sit in and hurt a player. So now when I understood that, me and a couple of my colleagues sit down, a couple of mental health therapists and stuff like that, and we devised a plan to basically help the athletes understand who they are, understand self, and how to relax more in the game and just let the game come to you and play instead of letting all the outside interferences bother you mentally.
Now, and you said something about helping players live in the moment. Can you really go into detail about that? How do you help players live in the moment, feel comfortable, help them get over their fears, help them to relax? Like, what tips do you have for players out there that are struggling with being in the moment?
The key thing you said was fear. The only thing that can really distract you from the moment is fear. In my book, Love and Fear, Wish and Motivation, I actually wrote a blog called Hakuna Matata, and it's called, like, No Worries. And it's about, I said, I think I started off saying, how are these players able to live in the moment, or how are these players able to do these great things? And I was like, it's simple, it's just living in the moment. And they said, what exactly is that? And I said, it's choosing love over fear. Now, that seems simple, but it's not as simple as we put it. Now, you got to understand that every last action you do is dictated on choices. God gave us free will for everything that we do. So I'll teach kids how to prepare themselves. Like, when I'm in the gym and when it's 11 up, I shoot that shot every single time. because I want to win. If we win 12, I'm shooting that shot. So when it comes to the game, it's nothing but another shot. And because I prepare for this moment, preparation plus opportunity equals success. So I take that same equation and I place it on your emotions so we can get to your mental health status. So if you realize that every major choice you're made is dictated on how you feel, it's either dictated on love or on fear, then you got to start recognizing and identifying these emotions so you can make the proper choices. Parachute, I get 500 makes a day. In basketball, why come I can't prepare my emotions and my mental state the same way I prepare that? We don't teach kids how to exercise their emotions. So now, I mean, let's keep it 100. We in a state where kids are fighting, shooting each other, doing all kind of things because they have a whole lot of passion with no direction. So if we could teach them how to get a better direction and move into that moment, like those Jordan moments, and realize that Jay-Z says it best. I know y'all from New York, and Jay-Z says sometimes you just step in the booth, creep in the door and let God in. That's what you got to do in life. Sometimes you get in that moment, you've been preparing, you've been working, you've been doing all that. You got to learn how to get all those distractions out and just literally live in your passion. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and I said, there's three types of people in the world. You have one person who's super talented but with no work ethic. Then you have people with a crazy work ethic, and they're mildly talented. But then you have the people who are extremely talented with an insane work ethic, and that's where you get greatness from. That's where you get LeBron James. That's where you get Kobe Bryant. That's where you get Michael Jordan. There's no reason, or Larry Bird, there's no reason why they're great, because they have the talent, but a talent with hard work puts that all into perspective. So if we learn how to identify and control our emotions and recognize fear, once you step on that court and you see that fear coming, then you say, okay, this is nothing but fear. Let me move towards the love side and live within my passion and just play this game I love. And once you learn how to do that, you will have those moments where you hit 8 for 8 from the three-point line, or like LeBron was the other night. He came down and hit 4 straight jump shots. You could say 2 years ago. Last year, the Spurs was playing off of him, making him shoot jumpers. I didn't see him get super aggressive until game 6, where, like, all that spells, I ain't got nothing else to lose. I'm always just shooting my way out of it. And he came in and played an outstanding fourth quarter. And the same thing with game 7. He came out on fire. When you allow yourself to alleviate fear from that moment, the only thing that's holding you is fear, and that's trapping you. If you learn how to live within your love, then you can always live in a moment. That's why you always got to follow your heart in these situations. And we don't understand that because we don't teach kids this. We teach them how to be robots. Go in here and shoot for all the jump shots. Go in here and do this. Go in here and do that. But we don't teach them how to think and make proper choices. So once you learn how to identify those emotions, the fear can't hold you back. Therefore, once your fear is gone, it's just you and God, because God is love. So if it's just you and God, what else is stopping you? Just let that thing go and have fun and live in the moment. Whatever meant to happen, meant to happen. Proverbs 5:6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You got to trust in the Lord. I'm coming out. I'm playing. Just let this game come to me. We allow everything else to distract us and fear, because we're in a society full of fear, and we live in it. And fear is meant to control. You got to realize we're not in control. God is. So learn how to alleviate fear. That's how you live towards the moment. Or you can buy a book, Power of Now, or buy my book, or my boy got a book called The People Reader. It's a lot of books to help you, The Secret. It's a lot of books that can enhance the Bible, the Quran. A lot of books that can help you, teach you how to live in the moment.
Okay, so it's one thing to gain knowledge, but it's a completely different thing to share it. So I want to know, what inspired you to be a motivational speaker to kind of help other people in the right direction?
It kind of fell into place. It goes with following your heart. I always have a quote that I always say. I said, you follow your heart, you find your passion. You live in your passion, it leads you to your purpose. Understand your purpose, and you'll find your destiny. I was playing basketball. I linked up with Belinda Hill. And we was in China, and we had an N1 game out there, and she was like, I was teaching at the time. She was like, can you talk to these kids? I was like, yeah, that's no problem. And I went out there and did it, and it was easy to me, and I liked it. And I was like, man, this is something I want to do, because the way, you know, the kids reacted, and I could see I was actually helping. So we came home, and she called me, and she's like, can you come up with something that you could have, like, an outline or something? I was like, yeah, no problem. And came up with Dreams. Determined to reach reality with education, aspirations, and motivation. And after that, it just fell into place. I was following my heart. I love basketball. My talent took me to my passion, and my passion led me to speaking to kids, and I could do that for the rest of my life. So what I do is everything that I gain knowledge-wise, like you said, to share it, I'm always an open book. When I went to N1, the first time we went to China, I went to the church and, or the temple and prayed with the Buddhists. We went to Saudi. I went to the Red Sea and prayed with the Muslims. I went to Africa, and I was at Mandela's house, and open book. I'm always trying to learn and understand people, so because my purpose is to help, and I think that's everybody's purpose, to give back and help in some type of way to society. And once I realized that, man, I love doing it, and I still love doing it. Like, it's just a passion of mine. I love encouraging people. I love identifying. I think I have a gift of discernment. My mom told me that. I love identifying what people need and helping them get to their purpose and their higher self. So I enjoy it, and that's what led me to do it, just following my path. Basketball led me right there. Basketball has led me to everything in my life. A talent of mine, God gives you talent, and it led me to everything else I'm doing.
Now, you talked about the N1 basketball. Talk about your experience with N1 basketball, and do you feel that the NBA somewhat copied, I don't want to say copy, but
oh, you can
something
say it.
From N1 basketball. Do you feel that, I don't want to say copied, I just want to say, you know, took a snippet of what N1 was doing and applied it to the actual NBA as far as entertainment is concerned?
It's actually a lot more than that, but as far as N1 experience, it was amazing. It was a blessing. It's a lot more to N1 than what people think. We literally are on the visiting team everywhere we go. We're never on our own home court, and everybody wants to beat us. I think those tricks and everything is staged. It's not. Y'all know pharmacists. Y'all know man. Y'all know all of them. They'll tell you those tricks are not staged, and it's hard that we literally have to go out here. We have to win. And not being at home, we got to win on your home court, and we have to entertain and make it look amazing and do something you had never seen before. So the experience itself, just one of the funnest things I ever did, man. I got to see the world. I got to travel. I got to play against some of the best. I got to meet some of the legends. You know, I went on tour with the NBA legends a couple times. That was awesome. Sit there and had dialogue with Gary Payton and Dennis Rodman and Horace Grant. And, you know, you get to do these things and take full advantage of it. You get to meet all these cultures and all these people. And it was just an amazing experience. But as far as the NBA and N1 or streetball, let's go all the way back to streetball. Let's look at the Rucker back in the day. The NBA 50 cented the N1 basketball tour. And what I mean by that is they took our style and then told everybody to hate us, and we're the reason basketball's bad. If you look all the way back to the record, the whole street style, the ABA, and I had this conversation with the president of N1, Rob Purvey, and he's like, Earl of Pro Monroe and Dr. J and all these nicknames. Where did you get earning your name from? It came from the streets. You had to earn your name. Then when David Stern is the culprit, let's keep it 100, he came all the way into the league, and he said, let's name him Magic and give it Showtime. Let's name him Legend Larry, Air Jordan. He stole all the names. And then when N1 came out, let's be honest with each other. It was one of the most popular. It's the number one syndicated show on ESPN. So it was one of the most popular sports alive. And it hit heights that we never believed. Hustlers got to meet Michael Jackson. They got to go to the Playboy Mansion. They was on Sports Illustrated. Then you look at NBA now. You look at the Blake Griffins, and you look at the Jamal Crawfords and the way it's marketed. Smitty's top 5 plays below the rim, the top 10 NBA plays are all crossovers and dunks. If somebody follows your own SportsCenter now, that all originated from N1. That wasn't glorified in the NBA back in the day. I wrote a blog on it, and I said, is streetball good or bad for basketball? And I think what they did with streetball, they took away the number one thing that made streetball, its essence of streetball, is that the heart and the passion and the toughness and the mental toughness it took. We on the court on concrete, and you can foul me, and there's no blood, no foul. You got to be tough out here. You know, you got to be mentally tough to play in the parks, and that's what these kids ain't doing now because of AAU. They don't get to go outside and play in the parks. They just play AAU ball. They're always under a whistle. So how do they ever get a chance to be mentally tough? Have you ever been on the court and somebody busted bottles on the court one time, or you teach all crazy, I'm going to go get my gun? You've never been in these moments. You've never been in these moments where you thought you was going to get beat up. for playing basketball, but that's the essence of street ball, and it makes you a mentally tougher person because you've been through those things. So when I watch the NBA and I watch all these things and how they discredit street ball like it's terrible for basketball, I laugh because I feel like we're Ja Rule right now. 50 Cent came in and said Ja Rule's style is whack and then stole it and got super rich. NBA was already rich, but they came in and said our style was whack and stole it and market all their players off there. King James, Black Mamba, Flash, Durantula, everybody. Anybody who has an NBA has a nickname is marketed off N1. And if you got a crossover, if you got hops or anything, or even if you're an athlete in the draft, you get pushed up higher than people who are skilled. Why? Can you explain to me why Jabari Parker is not going to be the number one pick? By far the most skilled player in the draft. But right now they got Andrew Wiggins and Joe Embiid, all this potential in Affleck. Because why? Because we can sell that. That's why it's an individual league. You look at street ball, it's an individual sport. It's by far the most individual. Like, look at me. It's a player's league. LeBron James. That's why the Spurs don't get that much credit. Because they're a team for real. It's beautiful basketball. They move the ball. They pass everybody. It's not about stats. Nobody's leading the league in scoring. Nobody's leading the league in assists. Nobody's doing anything else. Extraordinary, but they have marketed it to be more entertaining. I'd rather see D-Wade throw LeBron an oop. I'd rather see Westbrook duck with somebody. I'd rather see Kyrie. I love Kyrie Irving, but you can't even win. Same thing with Kevin Love. Like, I need people who win. I need winners. But at the end of the day, yes, I look at it, and I'm like, wow, the whole swag of streetball has been imitated by the NBA, and they're eating off of it, making billions off of it. All them rich Donald Sterling owners are sitting out there laughing. Yes, keep dribbling. Let me sell my team for $2 billionaires. So.
Well, definitely. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. By far, you have like a Twitter or people that's interested in knowing more about your program and relationship tips. Because, you know, relationships are definitely important. Ways people can contact you, things of that sort of nature.
Well, my B-Ball IQ Academy, B-Ball IQ Academy is a brand all the way across. I got a Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, and a website. So BballIQAcademy.com, you can look it up. As far as relationships, I work with Jason Miller, and we're on the Healing Hearts Radio. You can look that up, HealingHeartsRadio.com. As far as my blog, I actually do write. My blog is coming. It's already out. Amazing. www.amazonand1wordpress.com. That's my blog. And everything else, man, just hit me on Facebook, man. I love talking basketball. We have the most incredible debates every single day. I talk about LeBron, D Wade. I'm kind of upset because I really don't care who wins this finals. I'm going to keep it all the way 100 with you because right now I'm a Laker fan, so I'm a super Kobe fan. So if Duncan wins, they're going to try to say Duncan's a better player in this generation than Kobe, which is not real true at all. And then if LeBron wins, they're going to try to say LeBron's better than Kobe. So right now I'm at a lose-lose for my as a fan. But my other favorite player is Westbrook, and San Antonio put OKC out, and I'm from Indianapolis, so I was going for the Pacers, and the Heat beat them. So I kind of don't care who wins this finals. But as far as everything, B-Block IQ Academy is across the board as far as social media. I got my own Facebook page, and I write a blog. And my book, make sure, relationships, we want to talk about relationships, my book will be out soon. Give me like 2 or 3 weeks. Just got it done. Love or Fear, Wish or Motivation. It really teaches you how to identify your emotions and manage. I mean, identify your feelings, manage your emotions to make a better choice in life. So anything else, you go on the website, bballacademy.com, and you'll be able to reach me at anything you want to. Like I said, I got all across the board, social media, same brand, everything.
Man, well, thank you very much for coming to the Game Show Sports Talk Show, showing some love. Definitely is greatly appreciated. We also looking to have one of your homeboys that you used to play with, 50, trying to get him on the show as well. Shout out to 50, doing big
water
things.
Water 50 is one of my favorite players to play with, man, of all time.
That's my man, 50. Shout out to 50, man, and one. He's doing his day, man. TK, I'm sorry we couldn't get Dwayne Wade to Cleveland.
You aggravate me so much.
Hey, I really appreciate you bringing me on the show, too, man. Like, at the end of the day, you didn't have to, and I'm always an appreciative dude. You know, I had a good time talking. I wish we could have debated more about basketball, but I always enjoy doing this.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because this is the best part of the show, my man. And I'm glad you're here to witness this because TK witnesses this every week, the best part of the show. Follow me on Twitter, at GameStrong, 3D. We can go ahead debate about anybody in the league. I'm ready. GameStrong, 3D on Twitter. You go ahead, you know. TK, she doesn't do that because, you know, we can't get nobody to Cleveland. But it's all right. And she want Andrew Wiggins. Talk about how you want Andrew Wiggins on Cleveland. Pick another Canadian. That's going
to
be a bust.
Who goes to Cleveland? I am a Paul George fan, period.
I just was in the club with PG the other day.
See? Look. Don't tell her that. She's tight. Because that's a man crush. And when Paul George is around other women, she get pissed.
Let's speak on Paul George. Why did you leave Lance hanging like that? I didn't appreciate that. And I'm ride for Paul George all day. But don't sit there and say, well, it's on Larry Bird. Nah, speak up for your teammate. I didn't like that. I didn't think that was real.
She wants him to play for Cleveland right now. She's not hearing it.
She wants
everybody
to play for Cleveland.
Look, Cleveland need anybody. Cleveland just might as well just put an ad in the classifieds. Just, who want to play, come try out.
The hate is so real. Like, it's ridiculous.
Cleveland got a lot of talent. That's the fun part.
I get no love.
I'm just saying, it's Cleveland. It's just Cleveland.
Well, they got Johnny Football now.
He might play for the Cavaliers.
Whatever. I get no love on this show.
I mean, what can go wrong? Seriously, what can go wrong?
I think Cleveland should get Jabari and run with that, him and Kyrie. I think that'd be a good little tandem right there.
You know, till next week, everybody, because I got to leave.
All right. Appreciate it.
Man, holler at me, 8 o'clock, GameStrong Sports Talk Show. Thank you, everybody.